The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The person that they said was from the Washington, D.C. Occupy, that maybe why did he feel he to shoot the White House window today? So I think we should hold a moment in solidarity for the White House and for the guy that shot at the White House today.
Actually, that's the brain of Occupy. They just wanted solidarity for the man who was arrested for an attempted assassination on the President of the United States. But if you actually heard the lilting voice that rises as he spoke, you understand the mind of the occupiers. They don't understand anything, and they have to go home for their tuna sandwich and their meds before going back for the Brooklyn Bridge thing, that their mothers let them go out and could have fun in Zuccotti this morning, only if they came home by 3 for their meds and their tuna sandwich, and then they're going to go back for the Brooklyn event. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a laughing matter. 1789 comes to mind. 1917 comes to mind. It was useful idiots like this that brought about the collapse of other civilizations and societies. And I am telling you as I sit here, what George Soros and the Tides Foundation, along with Barack Obama and the unions and Bill Ayers, have unleashed upon America is not to be underestimated. Yesterday, after the radio show in San Francisco, I went back out into the streets. Once again, the commuters were blocked from going home in the downtown of San Francisco as the vermin had come back, only 200-300 of the most violent, and broke into the Bank of America building, smashed the lobby of the building. And I stood outside talking to some of the SFPD, and they told me that business owners had told them that some of these rats were taking the paving stones from planters, from their businesses, and slipping them into backpacks to throw at the police. You haven't any idea what the police are putting up with. I have never seen such constraint, and I've never seen such a professional police force as I have today. And I mean all of the police across America facing these rats who have constrained themselves are to be commended. This is the most amazing constraint I have ever seen. And that is because they're better trained than ever before. They are trained in crowd control better than ever before, and they have been trained to deal with the communists in a way they've never been trained before. I see one scene after another of a loudmouthed girl sticking her finger in a cop's face screaming at him, with some rat with a camera running next to her, hoping to God the police do something, and yet the police don't do anything. It's affecting me on a subconscious level because I believe communism is the worst scourge of the last several hundred years, the worst scourge to have ever hit the planet. And what you're witnessing, make no mistake about it, what you are witnessing is a communist revolution that could get out of control. I had a dream last night after being around the protesters, the street rats, those with bandanas on their face, organized by Obama and Soros and the unions. And I had a dream last night after being in the city for my radio show with my dog Teddy. I had a dream that the protesters kidnapped my little dog, Teddy, and sent me a note saying, you're never going to see him again. He is going to be killed. This is exactly what they're going to kill, the last bit of innocence and decency in the United States of America. Make no mistake about it. These are not nice kids. Go down there and take a look at them and listen to them. This is the face of evil. This is the rabble that has destroyed nations before. And this was organized by the community organizer in chief who has fled the town to vacation in Bali with the missus and the mother-in-law at the same time. In the rest of this dream, I saw a character who was clearly Harry Truman. And Harry Truman was walking somewhere in my dream, but it was in current time. And I said to him, God, you represent common sense, Mr. Truman. And he tips his hat, and I say to him, if anyone had any common sense, they wouldn't run for the presidency today. There would be a talk show host. At which point, a Rush Limbaugh-type character walks by in my dream, smile knowingly, but he doesn't give me credit for saying it, and he walks on as though he thought of it himself. All of this in my dreams, I have to just tell you, I'm not going to apologize for my dreams. My subconscious has nothing to do with me or anything to do with radio. It is what it is. Now we wake up and what's going on politically. What's going on politically is the Democrats, who are clearly behind all of this, are trying at the same time to distance themselves from it. If anyone owns this movement, it's Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and the entire Democrat leadership. But they're pretending that they're not in favor of it. At the same time this is going on, Congress was trying to pass a balanced budget amendment today. I was shocked as I was eating my lunch to see none other than Nancy, $900 million to her brother-in-law Pelosi, get up there and have the nerve to say that for the sake of the children we must continue to spend, that she opposes the balanced budget amendment for the sake of the children. I don't know if she meant her children, but you have to listen to this to believe this. Listen to Nancy Pelosi arguing against a balanced budget amendment. At the same time, there are riots across America demanding that the spending madness stop. Listen to 26.
It is our duty as members of Congress, indeed we take the oath of office, to be the elected guardians of our Constitution, to protect and defend it, to do no harm to our founding documents. Yet if this proposed amendment is adopted, it will have far-reaching and adverse consequences.
Can you believe what she said? Did you hear this? She said it would have adverse effects to balance the budget. It's astounding to listen to this. 1-800-449-8255. I have some questions for you on the Savage Nation. Were you delayed or prevented from getting to or from work by the Occupy Wall Street goons? What is your opinion of what they're actually doing and what they've actually achieved in this country? How has the Occupy Wall Street goons most inconvenienced you? What is the most horrible thing you've seen at the Occupy Wall Street protests? And I say on the side, if only the occupiers had a real occupation, we wouldn't be facing this situation. Let me repeat that in case you didn't hear it the first time. If only the occupiers had an occupation, we wouldn't be seeing the turmoil that we are facing today. What do you believe is the most dangerous element in the Occupied Wall Street movement? The students, the anarchists, the union thugs, or the old guys with the ponytails and the cameras? 1-800-449-8255, last question of this moment. Who do you believe the Wall Street protesters are ignoring the most? Who do you think should actually be protested? Let me give you a few candidates. How about the General Electric building? How about Jeffrey Immelt's townhouse? How about the GE building that earned $14 billion worldwide last year and paid not 1 cent in U.S. income tax? How did they get away with it? They filed a 57,000-page tax return. Let me repeat that. General Electric has hired over 1,000 former IRS agents to blizzard the current IRS with double talk and red tape and pays nothing in income tax. This is the same Jeffrey Immelt who is on Obama's Jobs Council, and what he's doing for jobs is very, very good for China because he's exporting as many factories as he can to China as quickly as he can. How does he get away with not paying any income tax? That is General Electric. How can he get away with it? Answer, he owns the media. What do I mean by that? Remember years ago I warned you about watch out for the interlocking corporate directorships, which used to be, by the way, a watchword of the 60s liberals. That's right. Let me repeat it. In the 60s, the liberals were screaming about interlocking corporate directorships. I warned you that when General Electric was allowed to buy NBC, they would use it as a straight-out propaganda channel. And use it as a straight-out propaganda channel, have they? Of course they have. Where do you think they get all that money to pay all those salaries to those no-rated shows? Where do you think they get the money from? By not paying taxes. Some of it goes right into the hands of these stooges for them on MSNBC, CNBC, and of course, the Peacock itself. ladies and gentlemen, this is a very serious situation. 1789 comes to mind. 1917 comes to mind. What comes to mind if you're listening to this show? There's also 1848. There were the riots in America in 1848. So we have 1789, 1848. We have 1917. If you add them up, 3 plus 2 is 2, 3 is 9, minus 2 is 11, which is 9. We don't have the numbers, guy. Let's go to David in Sacramento. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's interesting the fact that the protesters act as if they are getting away from the typical cycle of what America is. However, they are segregating themselves into different groups of elite versus bottom feeding portions of their Occupy camps, and all they're doing is falling back into what America has already set for them as an example.
I don't understand what you mean by set for them as an example.
Well, America has its certain democratic processes and certain class structure, and
are you saying in the animal farm of Zuccotti Park there's a pecking order?
Yes, and there.
And how does it run? The rich kids from the Ivy League schools who are studying puppetry and filmmaking are down in the expensive tents, and the poor girls from Brooklyn College are sleeping under a kerchief together. What exactly mean by a pecking order?
Well, I've noticed that on several different reports, there is a certain small percentage of the protesters that really have a clear stated mission, while the other ones are there just to be part of a movement and claim.
Oh, you mean to get their merit badges? They're arrested with the plastic handcuffs. I saw a lot of the girls from Berkeley last night getting their merit badges, going home all excited to their communist parents in the Berkeley Hills. No doubt they'll be gushing about it at the Thanksgiving dinner. You got to hear this one before I go. In the middle of the night last night, about 2:30 in the morning, the police, the Alameda County Sheriff's Department, police departments in Oakland, Emeryville, Newark, Union City, and UC Berkeley, raided the campus to throw the bums out. They came on the campus to throw the backpackers out, and the backpackers were not ready for them. They were fast asleep after a night of drinking, sex, partying, and texting. They were snuggled up cozily in their tents at the Berkeley campus, and they were shocked as the police arrived and threw the bums out. You got to listen to what one of them said. Ian Saxton, age 29, a graduate student. We don't know whether he's majoring in political science, sociology, or puppetry. Ian Saxton tore down his green tent and got out before the police seized the steps. Here is what the brilliant young man said. The size of this force is entirely unnecessary. Occupy Cal was a justified assembly by the students and community of UC Berkeley. This is what they do to students who exercise their First Amendment right? I'm going to go home for a tuna now. I got to talk to my mother. I got to ask her about the tuna sandwich and a cup of tea. I'm really hurting over this. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So this movement is much smaller than the media would have you believe, but it's very, very dangerous because it is being carefully orchestrated by the Obama administration while he's out of the country with money from Soros and the Tides Foundation, according to the best knowledge I've been able to put together. And I must say, if only the occupiers had an occupation, we wouldn't be in this situation. I saw the faces of them last night. I'm not just sitting here up on a hill in an ivory tower. I went out with my little dog, and I could not believe what I saw. I saw the most violent people you could imagine wearing their bandanas, looking for any opportunity to cause as much ruckus and mayhem as they could. I saw police with the greatest constraint I've ever seen in my entire life. Now, in New York, the blogs were saying there'd be 10,000 troublemakers. In fact, there were only 1,000. The turnout in New York fell well short of what police had been expecting. Only 1,000, while the vermin was saying it would be 10,000. One police officer was hit with glass and needed stitches on his hand. Another officer was sent to the hospital because he had liquid thrown in his face. We don't know whether it was vinegar or vinegar tainted with the AIDS virus. You understand that there are many dangerous people in these crowds. Demonstrations were also underway in Washington, St. Louis, Kansas City, Missouri. Police arrested 21 demonstrators in Las Vegas, 20 were led away in plastic handcuffs in Portland, Oregon, once a wonderful conservative city and now in ruination from the disease of liberalism. As I say to you, liberalism is a mental disorder, and what they've achieved is the exact opposite of what they hope to achieve. They have alienated 99% of America instead of encouraging 99% of America to join them. They have alienated 99% of America who's finally seen the idiocy in the face of stupidity. Now, having said that, remember who you're listening to. I wrote a book called Trickle Up Poverty a year ago. In the book Trickle Up Poverty, I talked about the Wall Street gang. So don't think that I'm immune to knowledge in terms of what actually happened. However, it was not Bank of America that organized the downfall of our economy. No, sir. It was not Bank of America. It was the large hedge funds that traded in stocks without any constraints. They went wild on the street. They broke the economy, and then they foisted an unknown senator upon us. And many of you idiots were duped into thinking he represented something other than the power structure, period. I didn't say the Democrat power structure. I said the power structure, period, because we have a one-party system. I've said it since I joined radio in 1994. It is a single party. It's a one-party system with two empty shells with no nut under either shell. It's three-card Monty, but you can't win this game. It's a Democrat game. It's a Republican game. And all of us are looking for real orange juice, real apple juice, but you're only going to get a diet soda out of either party. Take a look at what's happening with the Republican debates. I told you, and I am right, and I wish I were wrong. I told you that the large number of debates by the Republicans would run them off the rails. And sure enough, one after the other is looking worse than they did the day before. And who's looking better? Obama. His poll numbers are going up by doing nothing. Why? Why are the Republicans committing Harry Caray in front of us? Because the way the game is played is this. 8 years Dem, 8 years Repub, 8 years Dem. So who were the last ones in power? You had 8 years of the war profiteers under Bush. Now you have Obama. In 3 years, he ran up a $4 trillion, or $3.5 trillion in additional debt. He's only warming up!
Savage.
See, the insanity is in the spending. Let's clear the air here. What's all this turmoil in America about? The Tea Parties and the Occupy movements are diametrically opposite in terms of behavior. But in terms of part of the message, there is an overlap. I wouldn't say they're really twins, as someone says. There's an overlap, and the overlap is stop the spending. Obama has taken a $1 trillion deficit. And to solve our problem, he's decided to spend an additional $3 trillion in deficit spending. But where is that $3 trillion gone? Has it gone to you? It's gone to people in Congress and their friends and their cronies and their supporters. You know the Solyndra case, $530 million disappeared in the year. Where's the money? Stephen Chu, the energy secretary, says, oh, I'm sorry it happened, but I don't know where the money is. What do you mean you don't know where the money is? Of course they know where the money is. Why don't you seize the houses and the cars and the assets of those who benefited from Solyndra? Start with that. Or how about all the other fake solar loans that are being given out as I speak? $1.4 billion to one of the Kennedys for another a crackpot pie-in-the-sky green operation that will produce very few jobs. And the jobs that will be created will have cost about $1 million per job. This is how the Democrats think, and this is why we're bankrupt. So as I say to you, the solution is quite simple, balance the budget. So today Congress was trying to introduce a balanced budget amendment, and take a guess who opposed it. Nancy Pelosi and her fellow Democrats, one after the other got up and was screaming, saying that for the children and the sake of the Constitution, we must continue to bankrupt the nation. It's astounding. I've never seen anything like this. If I didn't hear it with my own ears, I would say somebody made this up. That Nancy Pelosi would have the nerve to wrap herself in the Constitution when she has used it as a doormat for her entire career. You got to listen to 26 and 27. Listen.
It is our duty as members of Congress, indeed we take the oath of office, to be the elected guardians of our Constitution, to protect and defend it, to do no harm to our founding documents, Yet if this proposed amendment is adopted, it will have far-reaching and adverse consequences. It was interesting to me to hear others on the other side of the aisle talk about our children, our responsibility to them. Yes, that's what we said when President Bush was amassing his deficit. I didn't hear anyone on the other side of the aisle talking about that.
Again, Bush.
But this is about our Constitution. So we owe it to the vision of our founders, the sacrifice.
Right, let's stop right. Where in the world is it written in the Constitution that they have not only a right but an obligation, as Ms. Pelosi would imply, to bankrupt the nation? Can anyone find the clause in the Constitution that Ms. Pelosi is referring to, which gives them not only the right but the obligation to bankrupt the nation? I don't see it anywhere. I actually have read the Constitution. Okay, Pittsburgh, PA, Larry, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I wanted to dispute what you had said about the Republicans and Democrats. If you look through history since Roosevelt, the Democrats have had control of Congress almost 90%. There's only been a few years where the Republicans were in charge of Congress, and it was when Bill Clinton was the president. And then, of course, there was a small portion of George W. Bush's era when the Republicans, but that was at the very beginning on the split.
Yeah, no, I guess I should have qualified what I said. In recent times, the game has become 888 instead of 999. 8888.
I wish we would go back to the way the Congress was initially set up. They met a couple of times a year, and they were volunteers, and I think they really cared about America.
Well, that's all well and good. It's never going to happen. You have the embedded political slash criminal class running America now. We have become like a Chilean government prior to the fall of Chile. We have a totally corrupt Congress on both sides of the aisle. Yes, the corruption is far greater on the Democrat side, according to what I have seen, but I haven't seen all the documents yet. And this is only coming out. Look at what we're learning in the last few days. Look at Newt Gingrich. Took $1.2 million from Fannie Mae to consult with them. Does that bother you?
It does a little bit, but I'll bet you there's a lot more.
Well, it's not on the same magnitude as Nancy Pelosi steering a $900 million grant or loan, a guaranteed loan, rather, to one of her family members. No, it's not in the same magnitude, but it's pretty ugly for him to pose as a man who's going to clean things up, when, in fact, I've long seen him to be a Beltway guy, a deeply embedded Beltway operative.
Well, there's one rule I wish they would institute. Whenever they set up the first banking charter in America.
All right, well, they're not instituting it. Whether you want it or not, or I want it, they're not instituting anything. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. If only the occupiers had an occupation, we wouldn't be facing this situation. That's what you should say around your dinner table. And what are you going to tell your children? What are you going to tell your children about these movements? What are they? How will you explain to your children what's going on in America right in front of your eyes? They've seen it. They've talked about it. What are you going to tell them? Who are these people? Who are these people in the streets, and what do they really want to happen? Well, tell them they'd like to take away the Thanksgiving table, the Thanksgiving chairs, the house you're in, the apartment you're in, and give it away to the homeless. How's that? Let's start with the basics. Tell them that if these occupiers have their way, there won't even be a turkey on the table. There won't even be a salami on the table. It will be like Cuba, where there is no private property and fundamentally no nothing. It will all be in the hands of the corrupt government. And anyone who disagrees with the government, it will be shot or put in prison. That's what the occupiers are leading us towards, nothing else. Lauren, New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Nice to talk to you. I was at Occupy Wall Street in New York City on Monday, and I was disgusted by them. I'm a New York State employee union, and I went to my union today. My rep kind of laughed the pictures off that I took, and I'm going to try and get a group together to see if we can do something to not have our union dues go towards Occupy Wall Street.
Well, okay, that's all well and good, but what actually disgusted you?
Everything. They're all tattooed up. They're all body pierced. They're all filthy, dirty. They're all smoking pot.
Yes, so this is the rabble. This is the unemployable rabble of America, the flotsam and jetsam. Right.
Yeah.
These are the people that in the past were used by other governments to intimidate the middle class to bring about a revolution. They're using the deranged drug addicts of our time to frighten the rest of us, and I'm waiting for the counterreaction. I wake up every day waiting for the counterreaction. I haven't seen it yet. Now, it's true that the police are doing a superb bang-up job. And maybe that's good enough. But I expect any day now to see a counter-reaction from some groups in America who have had it up to here with these out-of-control, loudmouth, drug-addicted brats. Now, what I'm about to say is not an recommendation. I want this put in context. I don't want my words taken out of context every time I say it. Do not take what I'm about to say out of context. But it's very important for you to understand that there was once a very large anti-Vietnam War movement in this country. And this is, in essence, an intergenerational thing, what you're seeing. Many of the same old commies, the same old anti-war communists from the 60s, who went into the universities, who went into the government, who are now operating inside the system, are educating these rats on how to disrupt society. It's an intergenerational game that is being played on we the people. That's number one. Number two, the anti-war movement of the 60s came to a dramatic end after the killings at Kent State. The very same college students thought they'd have a good time rioting, running around, smoking dope, whistling, singing, and running down hills at the police. And God forbid this should happen, but the National Guard opened up with rifles and killed about five, I don't remember how many, four, five, six? Four. Right after that, it was the end of the anti-war movement in America. I just pray to God it doesn't come to that. But they're praying for it. They are provoking, especially in New York, the NYPD. Here in San Francisco, I saw the faces of some of these vermin yesterday. I stood within 3 feet of them. It's very interesting. I was a block away from it as I'm walking to the streets being blocked, and I'm walking with my dog, Teddy, and I'm talking. I say, Teddy, come over here. Stop pulling. A woman was walking briskly next to me. She was not one of the protesters, and she said to me, are you Michael Savage? And I never answered the question. I turned to her, and I gave her a Russian face, which is a no-response face, and I said, and who might you be? She says, are you Michael Savage? And I said, who might you be? She said, you are Michael Savage. You look like him. I didn't say anything. She said, you know, I'm there. I'm there, as we walked on. She said, my sympathies are with them. So I said, ma'am, why don't you join them? Why don't you put your body on the line? And she says, well, I can't now. I can't now. I said, well, you really ought to put your body on the line. As we continue to walk, she disappeared into the darkness. So believe me, there are many, many, many people in this country who would like to see it all come down. What they don't understand is that they will not benefit from it. They will lose. I had arguments along these lines with one of my favorite uncles when I was a college student a very long time ago. I remember it to this day in the living room on Utopia Parkway. Only one of my uncles was fairly modern. The others were immigrants. He was born here. He had fought in World War II. He'd been a mechanic in England in World War II, an airline, Air Force mechanic. And I don't know what he did, but he was a very nice man. I loved him. So I had many long discussions when I was also being brainwashed by the communist teachers at Queens College in New York City. All of the emigres from Germany who had fled came over here, and many of them wound up in the city colleges professing the very Marxism that they left behind in Europe. And they had somewhat influenced me with their left-wing mentality. And I also argued along the lines of that we need to bring it down. I don't know, something. I don't know what the heck I said to him. My uncle never got angry. What he said was, well, he said with a chuckle, he said, I've looked at revolutions like the one in Russia and everywhere else. And he said, you know what happens, Michael? He said, the very same people who are on top right now in this capitalist system usually wind up on top in a socialist system or even in a communist system. I said, well, what do you mean they wind up on top? He said, because they're cunning. And the cunning who go to the top of the capitalist system wind up going to the top of the communist system. You know what? It turned out to be 100% right. I'll be right back.
Savage.
As I say, the people who should be arrested are the mayors and the public health officials who are permitting these encampments to continue. In San Francisco, lice and fleas have been found, and yet the useless so-called public health officials are doing nothing about it because they're all in bed with the unions and the radical left. Contagion spreads from conditions like this. This is how contagion originates, and this is how contagion spreads. I'm a trained epidemiologist, and I'm shocked. I'm actually appalled. I'm not shocked. The correct word is appalled I'm appalled at the lack of respect for common sense hygiene that is being permitted to be conducted on the streets of most of our major cities by the radical leftists in the city governments themselves. Victorville, California. Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation. Your comments, please.
I just want to say I've seen some good things on the internet. Some people at these Occupy movements, mainly the ones I've seen in New York, some of them have good views about what's wrong with our country, and I think it's been watered down with a lot of people that
are... So what are some of the good things you've read about that some of the fools are saying that we haven't heard before? I mean, what are they saying that the Tea Parties haven't said? What are the good things that they're saying that you haven't heard 100 times on my own show?
Well, I heard one guy talking about how the Federal Reserve is just pumping fake fiat currency in and devaluing our dollar, which I think is...
That's absolutely correct, 100% right. And what are we going to do? And what are we going to do about Ben Bernanke, for example? You know, let me explain something. You know who Ben Bernanke is, right?
Yes, sir.
Who is he?
He's a Federal Reserve, the main guy, isn't he, of the Federal Reserve Bank?
Well, he's not the Treasury Secretary, but let's put it to you this way. Ben Bernanke, he's the guy with the fuzzy beard who's been shown himself as a savior. Well, he is leading us to one of the greatest financial crises in the history of the world. It's going to be far larger than the one in 2008. And this is coming from those who really know what is going on. And I can't summarize it for you well enough, but I will try to do so in the best I can. Ben Bernanke has added $1.8 trillion of longer-term debt and mortgage-backed securities to the derivative puzzle. What does that mean? The Fed's entire balance sheet totaled around $800 billion before the 2008 crash. The entire balance sheet was about $800 billion before the 08 crash, nearly all of it in T-bills and treasuries. Right now, according to what I've read, the Fed holds more than double that amount in mortgage derivatives alone. Junk bonds, in other words, mortgage derivatives are junk that banks need to get rid of in order to clear up their own balance sheets, right? Now, add to this, and you'll see that as the size of the Fed's balance sheet ballooned, the amount of capital held at the Fed has remained fairly constant. So what does that mean? The Fed has $52 billion of capital backing a $2.7 trillion balance sheet. Do you know what that means? Here it is. And I'm going to quote now from the gentleman who wrote this incredible article, who's actually a hedge fund operator, Addison Wiggin, who wrote, "The next financial crisis will be hellish and it's on its way." I put it up on michaelsavage.com for those of you who have a high school education and actually like to read things. Here's what he said. Prior to the bursting of the credit bubble, the public was shocked to learn that our biggest investment banks were levered 30-1. 30-1. When asset values fell, those banks were quickly wiped out. That was at a 30-1 ratio. They were wiped out. They couldn't support it. But now the Fed is holding many of the same types of assets and is leveraged at 51-1. If the value of their portfolio were to fall by just 2%, the Fed itself would be wiped out. Did you hear that? At 30-1, banks crashed. Now they're at 51-1. And if the value of their portfolios fell by 2%, the entire Fed would be wiped out completely. So what am I getting at? Ben Bernanke, who has added $1.8 trillion of longer-term GSE debt and mortgage-backed securities, is fundamentally cooking the books. If you run a corporation and your accountant knowingly cooks the books, the federal government could indict that person and put him in jail. Do you understand that? If an accountant cooks the books, they go to jail, right? Here you have Ben Bernanke cooking the books for Obama, and he gets away with it because there is no jail for those who run the government. So now where do I belong, behind the microphone or in the gutters with a tent over my head, marijuana and some diseased babe next to me in the middle of a harsh winter night? I belong behind a microphone. I don't need to scream. I don't need to smoke dope. I don't need to throw things at police to get these points across. The fact of the matter is that we have a criminal enterprise at the highest level of government. And that's what all of America is screaming about. Forget the rats in the street. They don't even know what they're doing, half of them. Some of them do know what's going on, but they're not making any change for the better. They're making it much worse. instead of focusing on Ben Bernanke, instead of focusing on those in Congress who are robbing us blind, instead of focusing on the out-of-control spending by Obama, they're dissipating their attempts to try and revolutionize the economy of this country. Sacramento, California, Terry, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I was at Occupy Oakland on November 3rd. I had business down there, and I was prohibited from getting to my appointment by the protesters. There's not a policeman in sight. So what I did is I went down with my camera to do a little investigative reporting on my own, and I found that the encampment down there at City Hall was divided into two parts. There was the pot-smoking hippies with their tents in the middle of Town Square, and then on the perimeter, there was all of these booths with all the propaganda being handed out. I've got a picture of the Bolshevik Internationalist handing out literature. The SEIU was there.
Was Emma Goldman's granddaughter there selling laced cookies?
The pot smoke was thick. So I will say this. Here's how I can prove that they were useful idiots. I actually, in my suit and tie, I got one of their pre-printed signs that they were handing out to the protesters who had no idea what they were doing. I got in the middle of the march, and as they were chanting, "We are the 99%, I was chanting, "I am the 1%. And they looked at me dazed and confused, not knowing what to say or do, because here I have one of their signs saying I'm the 99%, and on the other hand, I'm saying I'm the 1%.
So you infiltrated the useful idiot march.
I absolutely did, and my wife wants to kill me to this day.
Well, let me suggest you be careful, because mixed in with the useful idiots are violent anarchists. The ones with the bandanas are murderers and terrorists. And by the way, they're doing just what Osama bin Laden attempted to do, bring down our financial system. They're all terrorists. Savage. They should be arrested.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Rhythm. I expect it'll be a big hit one of these days. The problem is, how did they get sold out? The banks may have been bailed out, but how did they get sold out? Most of them come from middle-class homes. Here in the Bay Area, the majority of those tying up the city yesterday were from the University of California at Berkeley. What do you mean they got sold out? What happened to them? What did they actually lose? They haven't lost one meal or a night's sleep. It's all rubbish. Today in New York, hundreds of protesters were just arrested. As they try to block commuters from going across the Brooklyn Bridge. Nothing could be more counterproductive to these lunatics than to block people who are coming and going from work, coming and going from hospitals, coming and going in conducting their ordinary lives. But the unions are behind this. The man who organized it all is safely ensconced in Bali. This is carefully orchestrated, but I see it backfiring on the Democrat Party and the unions. I believe this is backfiring. I believe you're going to see the results at the next election, and I believe the average person who did not even know what the Democrats stood for, now understand that they are one and the same with the Occupy groups across America. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, in some ways this is good news, because we have seen the enemy, and the enemy is not us, it's them. Indiana, Vic, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I would say that the number one problem out of all this is that President Obama has created a permanent educated underclass of young people with degrees in art history and other
assorted. Why would you blame Obama for that? They went to school before he was a president, so we can't blame him for their bad education, can we?
Well, but I mean, he's ramped up the student loan programs. He's ramped up the ways that these young people can get extra money back on their tax returns for continuing in their education. And he's also...
I think you're off the mark here. It's not about Obama and the education system. It's about the fact that Obama organized this with the unions in order to create a race war and a class war in the United States of America. That's his election strategy. Obama's election strategy is a class war and a race war, because he could not win any other way. I'll be right back. I'm not ready to take a break. New York, WR John reporting from New York City. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Michael Savage, praise be to the great God of Israel and the prophet Elijah. I was walking my border collie today in Central Park, and we were just walking all around, worshiping the great God of Israel and observing all the wonderful stuff taking place on the earth. And my dog was in the mess with the crowd, and I think it was two homosexual men. They didn't like my dog for some apparent reason. My dog was barking louder than the protesters, and they pushed my dog a little bit, and my border collie, black and white border collie, turned around and bit one of the homosexuals.
I'm speechless. Did they report you to the police for unleashing your border collie on them?
They didn't report me to the police, but I said, praise be to the great.
All right, that's enough, Freddie, with the praise be. I mean, how did he get on the show? I mean, I just got into a cold sweat from that caller. B. William, you're next up. What do you see out there, William? Go ahead, please.
Deja vu, Dr. Savage. This is straight out of the 60s. I went to school in 1969-70 at University of Missouri. The gray-bearded college professors were organizing anti-American demonstrations. It's the same thing going on today. They're using those kids as puppets. And,
yes.
You know, throw them
I agree with you, but remember, now you have the unions with the professors. They're all locked into this together, and it's not happening by accident. This is part of Obama's reelection strategy. That's how I see it.
Well, this guy, if you remember him, when the election last time, there was no Communist Party of America person running for president, because their man was running under a different heading this time, the last time. So, yes, it is exactly. It's part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. But what upsets me and worries me is more is that professor from Berkeley that said we'll do whatever we need to do, which means they want violence, they want unrest, and they'll throw those kids under the bus. If they can get them to continue on, they'd let them get shot up or whatever it takes.
Yes, they want the police or someone to overreact. They've been desperate to have violence directed at these moronic children who are being used as cannon fodder in the war of the communists. I agree with you, my friend. Okay, in this hour, I'm giving you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Stay on the line. It'll go out to you. Just so you don't think I'm just simply some right-wing talk show host who doesn't understand what's going on in the country down in the, let's say, ordinary level, because I'm riding high and I'm doing great. I got to remind you that I wrote Trickle Up Poverty a year ago. Yes, it's out in paperback, and yes, I'd like you to read the chapter on Nightmare on Wall Street. So let me read you a piece of the chapter, Nightmare on Wall Street, so you understand that I know about the banks. I know about the puppet masters. I know about the puppet masters who are not being protested, and I name names. So let me begin with page 90, the housing crisis and TARP bailouts. How's that? For those of you on the left who think that I'm something when I'm not what you think I am, let's listen to what I wrote published last year. 2008 marked a perfect leftist storm of financial conditions, ensuring that the shadow government would be able to engineer the election of Barack Obama through their raid on U.S. markets. That's a pretty good sentence. Among the most important contributors to the financial meltdown was a housing bubble that began in the 1990s, during the Clinton administration as part of the left's entitlement mentality. That paragraph alone should win a Pulitzer Prize, but I'll go on. Using taxpayer-funded mortgage guarantees through two quasi-governmental organizations, the Federal National Mortgage, better known as Fannie Mae, and the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, FHLMC, better known as Freddie Mac, policies were enacted that federally guaranteed home loans and encouraged giving mortgages to people who were unqualified to receive them. This, of course, perpetuated the left strategy of expanding entitlements in order to create widespread dependency. One of the leaders of this expansion of entitlements was the uber-leftist Massachusetts Soviet Democratic Congressman Barney Frank. Although Democrats, with the collusion of the mainstream media, managed to convince Americans that the financial crisis was overwhelmingly the result of capitalist greed, the fact is that the triggers for the crisis included both anti-capitalist hedge fund short sellers and corrupt Democrat policy-driven governmental agencies Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. In fact, Alan H. Meltzer, writing in the Wall Street Journal, declared that, quote, without the policies followed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the destructive changes in housing and mortgage policies, like authorizing subprime and alt-A mortgages for impecunious borrowers, the crisis would not have happened. Corruption surrounding Fannie and Freddie was rife. And so we know that Barney Frank is the one who should be in prison. We know that in the late 90s, Barney Frank seems to have been in bed, quote-unquote, with Fannie Mae's director of project development, Herbert Moses, as he, Frank, made decisions that benefited Fannie and its principal enormously. And I go on. I can't read you the whole book, but among many other things, the route led to the failure of Lehman Brothers, the largest financial institution failure in American history up to that time. Why? Because in addition to its extensive subprime mortgage holding and its inability to meet demands for collateral loans, collateral against loans, it was seeking to help it to avoid bankruptcy. The 158-year-old Lehman Brothers hid some $50 billion in distressed assets just before its collapse. Richard S. Dick Fuld, then Lehman CEO, had guided the company deep into the business of making subprime loans and then repackaging them and reselling the resulting bonds. Fuld was just getting started. Incidentally, as of now, Fuld is not in prison. As of now, Fuld has not been punished. As a matter of fact, Fuld sold his $13 million mansion in Florida to his wife for $100, and he still remains a free man, although he is being sued for fraud and misrepresentation. He is currently working for a New York-based hedge fund firm, Matrix Associates. Mike Whitney, a virulent, unrepentant leftist whose work appears on a number of blogs, actually got something right when he wrote, Lehman was a planned demolition concocted by ex-Goldman Sachs CEO and then Secretary of the Treasury, Henry Paulson, who wanted to create a financial 9/11 to scare Congress into complying with his demands for $700 billion in emergency funding, TARP, for underwater U.S. banking behemoths. Okay? There's a lot more in this chapter. It's one of the finest single analyses of the nightmare on Wall Street that led us to today, to the riots in the streets. So don't think I don't know who did this. However, the useful idiots who are being pushed into the gutters by the unions and by Obama have no idea that they're being used and played for the reelection of the very same gang that brought this about. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Trickle up poverty, stopping Obama's attack on our borders, economy, and security. There's a lot of targets for America, Americans. Picking on Bank of America is such a convenient target, but the fact of the matter is, it's not the only target, and they didn't bring about the collapse. It was others. For example, we're going back to pages 92 and 93 of Trickle Up Poverty, and let's look at the chapter on Wall Street. If you think that I don't know what I'm talking about, let me read you one paragraph. Well, what happened to all that TARP money, I ask? The answer is, what happened to the money is typical of what happens in cases where federal bureaucrats get their hands on money that confers power. It went right into the hands of the institutions that contributed campaign money. Connecticut Democratic Senator Chris Dodd, chairman of the Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs, received nearly $900,000 in campaign contributions from financial institutions receiving TARP bailout money. President Obama did even better, garnering more than $4 million in contributions for his war chest from the same group. So in other words, the very banks that got bailed out gave money to Obama, for those of you who are confused about what's going on in the streets. One more paragraph. We can only imagine what the retiring Dodd received from the Mohegan Indian tribe in his state, which was awarded an astonishing $54 million in federal stimulus dollars. While technically a low-interest loan from the Department of Agriculture, which must be repaid, it's not as if the Mohegan tribe is cash-starved. Far from it. After all, they own the Mohegan Sun Casino, which scored more than $1.3 billion in gross revenues in 2009. Talk about hitting a jackpot. Those funds were supposed to help rural communities with fewer than 20,000 people struggling, quote, to obtain other credit at reasonable rates and terms and are unable to finance the proposed project from their own resources, close quote. Well, tell me how the owners of a cash-rich casino fit the bill. This is nothing but an abuse of power and taxpayer money by Chris Dodd, page 93. There's much, much more. You owe it to yourself to get your fingers on a copy of Trickle Up Poverty in paperback and read that incredible chapter, Nightmare on Wall Street, which probably is the single best chapter describing what the crisis is about, who brought it about, who profited from it, and the correct targets for the wrath of those in the streets of America today. Instead, they've been directed to attack the Bank of America. You get it? Bakersfield, Craig, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Michael. I'm a member of Generation X that was once fooled by the left slanted view of utopia. But as I've grown older, I've had to understand and basically accept the fact that basic economics are not easily fooled. And I'm yes. now coming to the conclusion that Generation X eventually has to care for the baby boomers while having to deal with the entitlement brats with our God-given cynicism. And that's just my...
So in other words, we now have to take care of these spoiled brats in their little expensive tents, smoking marijuana, screaming, bring it all down, girl?
I don't think a lot of them are going to put up with that because they're going to point out the sheer lunacy that they subscribe to, and it won't be achieved by taking on stuffy formalities, Dr. Savage. It's going to be taken on by pointing out the bleeding obvious, and it's not going to be sugar-coated with Prozac.
But they want us to pay for their free education, et cetera, free this, free that. Who is going to pay for it? Who's supposed to pay for all of that?
Well, this is what I'm really worried about, Dr. Savage, is that when you consider that the weathermen came out of the SDS, the concern
yes.
I have is that the bunch of this rebel rabble are going to get impatient with the people who are in cahoots with them. And they're going to grow so impatient with their silent partners for not doing enough for their cause, they're going to reveal
yeah.
their real fangs.
Well, do you think that they're going to set up a Jean Provocateurs, in other words, fake conservatives to attack the useless idiots?
Well, they would have done that already. They would have come out with a lot more front groups if that was the case. But you have to understand that there's elements...
Well, we read today that Bill Ayers is involved with Occupy Chicago. So, in other words, the man who said he was no longer involved is deeply involved, Obama's old friend. We know this is coming out of the Chicago machine. We know that. And this all comes from the Soros, the Tides Foundation, et cetera, right down the line. So how does Obama expect to benefit from all of this social upheaval? That's the real question. Let's pull back. Let's go to the lofty heights together. How does Obama intend to benefit from the social upheaval he is now cultivating across America?
Well, he's going to create an element of orchestrated distractions, Dr. Savage, which is going to lead to an element of American civil war and a second American civil war, which is what I'm most concerned
about. Well, my worst nightmare, which I pray to God does not come to pass, is that he uses this as a pretext to A, institute some form of martial law, and they rehearsed it 2 weeks ago with the taking over of the airwaves. Or worse, God forbid, he arms the thugs with guns and creates his own SA or brown shirts, his own private security force, his own federal police force. Remember that famous speech that slipped out of his mouth before the election? We'll play it for you when we come back. For those of you who don't know where these rats could lead us, understand this is just the beginning. This is only the second stage of their plan.
Savage.
So before we go on with your calls and talking about the useful idiots and the collusion of the Obama administration and the unions using the college students who have nothing better to do to cause such social unrest across America, I'm going to play a very alarming speech that President Obama gave that was immediately hushed up by the compliant, fawning media. Listen to this.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Does he mean the Occupy people will be deputized and be given guns? Who does he mean, a civilian national security force? So let's open that up, because I think he's on the road to a civilian national security force. Now, that would be a CNSF. In Germany, it was called something else. It was called the Brown Shirts. A civilian national security force, just as well armed, just as well funded as the military. So who will he use? He could be using unions. He could be using the Black Panthers. He could be using the Nation of Islam. He could be using, I don't know who. Who does he mean by a civilian national security force? And by the way, in the midst of all of this, something else came to me in the middle of the night. Where is the bloated Department of Homeland Security in the middle of all of this? If ever there was an example of a useless department and a leadership vacuum, it's what's going on right now in America and the invisibility of Janet Napolitano, whose job it is to maintain the public safety at a time like this. Listen to what I just said to you. Department of Homeland Security. What these drug-infested rats are doing across America is exactly what Osama bin Laden set out to do on 9/11. Do you understand what I just said to you? One of Osama bin Laden's chief goals was to disrupt the American economy, to close down Wall Street. Now you have a domestic terrorist organization called the Occupy Movement achieving the very same thing, or attempting to achieve the very same goals as Osama bin Laden, and the multi-trillion dollar armed security police force that was created to protect us from another 9/11 is invisible and doing nothing. They should be out in the streets arresting the leadership. They should be arresting the union organizers. They should be arresting the rats who are trying to close down Wall Street. They are showing themselves to be absolutely useless. Wrong or right? I'm the only one who is saying this? That our Department of Homeland Security should be involved in protecting us from these rats, from these the social disorder that these rats are inflicting upon ordinary Americans going to and from work? Closing down Wall Street? Trying to block bridges and thoroughfares in America? This is an act. These are acts of terrorism. These are many acts of terrorism, and I frankly demand that Janet Napolitano either get fired or do her job. I am sick of listening to the double talk coming out of her mouth. Why are they doing nothing? Why is Congress not demanding Napolitano be fired for not having done anything during all of this disruption? I can't be the only one seeing this. I know that I have many listeners to this show who are current and former members of the FBI, current and former members of the CIA, current and former members of many, many other police agencies in this country. And I know they know I'm right. And I know that they know I'm right. And I want to know why nobody else is saying this. So let me repeat it again in case you missed it. The Department of Homeland Security was created after 9/11 to make certain that the American people were not disrupted by terrorists. That's the primary goal. Certainly to protect us against another terrorist attack. But what would a terrorist attack hope to achieve? Well, killing Americans would be one thing. But another thing would be disrupting our economy. Osama bin Laden, he said one of his goals was to shut down Wall Street. That's why he attacked the World Trade Center. He wanted to achieve exactly what these morons in the streets in Wall Street were trying to do today. But you know who stopped them? It was the NYPD, not the DHS. Where was the DHS? Where was the FBI? The FBI should have investigated the links between the unions, the Occupy groups, the professors, the Tides Foundation, and George Soros. Then I would know I'm living in a country that is a country I can have faith in. So you want to talk about Occupy? How about the rest of us? How about the real 99% of us who are fed up with this collusion of the tiny 0.001% of the radicals and the unions and the others who want to bring it all down? How about the 99.9% of us who have had enough of this garbage and are asking, where's DHS and where's FBI? Where? You tell me where they are. It fell into the hands of the NYPD. Not a word from the FBI or DHS. Why? Why? Ask them. Don't ask me. Sacramento, Tapani, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, listen, you're right. The examples in the 60s in Kent State with the National Guard shooting people, that is going to be the end result for this movement. It's going to be dark and there's going to be death because it's human nature that the cops and soldiers, someone's going to crack. I mean, the government is ignoring this. And I do think what you said earlier, it is part of their plan to let it fester so it'll help lead to the change that they want, you know, so they can rewrite history to reflect upon hope and change. And this is the movement.
I want to know why Janet Napolitano has not been heard from. Every other time we don't need her, we hear, wow, I just came back from the bowling alley and we got her under control. Where is she now? The country's in turmoil. Where the hell is she?
Yeah, you got cities, and they're officials handling things when it's getting out of control.
Where is Janet Napolitano? It is her job to have prevented this. Where is she? I want to know why she's not doing her job.
And listen, the arrested folks, they get arrested and then they get let go right away. And they're not checking.
That's a badge of honor for them. That's their little merit badge in the Cub Scout booklet. They all go home tonight and show their little handcuffs and their little arrest warrant. It's a revolving door, but forget them. The big issue is why is Barack Obama's government complicit with the social unrest going on in this country right now? Where's DHS and where's the FBI? Keep repeating it. That's the chant. Where's the FBI? Where's the DHS? Where's the FBI? Where's the DHS? Where's the DHS? Where's the FBI? They have a mandate, and they're not performing their mandate as far as I can tell. Am I wrong or right?
You're right. You're right. Hey, Michael, listen, you've done some fantastic writing, and we all love you for that. But listen, I wrote a short tribute, like a 10-line thing. Can I read it to you real quick?
Oh, I'll take a chance. We got the finger on the kill button. Go ahead.
Hey, listen. Michael Savage, on the microphone, he will do damage. To all the fools, he will just ravage. His intelligence will definitely manage to take a stand, beat up, and challenge all the crap that's wrong with the system. To your radio, turn it loud and listen to the voice of the man all across the land. So focus your concentration and be part of the Savage Nation.
Excellent. Bravo. Are you a rapper, songwriter, or what?
Oh, I'm a musician, you know.
You're very good. You know what I'd like to do? Beowulf, please get in touch with this young man, and let's set this to music and make it part of a bump. Let's see how it works. Would you like that, Tapani, if we do that?
I love you to say that. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, you know, the heavy metal that you play, I got questions about that because, well, I mean, there's a lot of other good stuff that is politically minded metal and hardcore music that you can.
Really? Well, I don't know it, though. You see, I'm not into it, so I don't really know it. I just like the old Rammstein music because it's got a tremendous power to it. Anyway, I'm sending you a holiday gift. It's called Abuse of Power because we're living through it right now under Obama. This is the Savage Nation. We're asking a very critical question, which is where is the Department of Homeland Security? Where is the FBI? Their job is to infiltrate these organizations and to have prevented this from happening. Remember what I'm saying to you. This is very serious stuff right now. And I'm putting myself at great risk by criticizing two of the most powerful police forces on the planet. I understand that. But I'm asking questions that need to be answered. Why did it fall upon the NYPD as an after-the-fact situation when this should have been stopped before it happened? Why? These terrorist groups said in advance that their goal was to shut down Wall Street, right? That's exactly what Osama bin Laden wanted to do. He wanted to disrupt our economy. You have a threat to the mainspring of our economy. You have a threat to the mainspring of our country, and the FBI doesn't stop it. The Department of Homeland Security doesn't stop it. What are they doing with their trillions of dollars? Think about it and give me the answer because I'd like the answer. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am wrong. Boston, Massachusetts. Jim, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Occupy Boston lies on the outskirts of the North End. Boston's Little Italy.
Yeah.
Driving home tonight, you couldn't get into the North End. One of the restaurant owners.
Well, the kids from Harvard are out early for Thanksgiving?
Well, what they're trying to do is close what they call in Boston the Charlestown Bridge. It's right where the USS Constitution is.
Yes, I know the city. I was at the Harvard Botanical Museum one winter. I lived in Marblehead, so please go on.
Okay, well, basically, you couldn't get in to the north end. It's a very small section of Boston. When I say Little Italy, it's Little Italy. And there was a restaurant owner out there, and he was out of his mind. Just couldn't have patrons go into his restaurant. You couldn't get around. So the Boston police had to restrain him, and these kids were taunting him. And that's just bad.
Well, he was screaming at them, like, get a job, go get a bath, that kind of thing?
No, he was screaming at them to get out of the front of the restaurant so people could come into his restaurant so he could do business. He couldn't do
business. Yeah, so what were the kids saying to him?
It was just out of control. Out of control.
Okay, it was like vulgar and provocative. They wanted him to punch one of them. Is that what they wanted?
Absolutely. He had to be restrained. It was just ridiculous. And I got to tell
you. Did the police arrest him, I hope?
Very nice to him. I mean, he was out of his mind, you know?
So, in other words, the cops did him a favor by constraining him because he was about to go off like a rocket.
Absolutely, 100%. You could say that.
Well, the Italians know what this is. Let me tell you that. They're not the only ones, but they know exactly what this is. They've seen this before. They're not fooled by this. But I come back to my primary question. Why did DHS permit this to go on? Why did the FBI not infiltrate the Occupy organizations and break this up before it started? I'll be right back. Let me ask the question again in a more refined manner. Why is the FBI and Department of Homeland Security silent while there's so much social disorder in the United States of America? Now, you could say, well, they don't want to step on the First Amendment rights of these poor, innocent college students. That is utter rubbish, because the stated goals of these not-so-innocent mobs is to have shut down the financial center of the United States of America, the very same goal of the arch-terrorist Osama bin Laden. And so, therefore, this should have been a high-priority mandate for the FBI and DHS, so far as I know. And how would I know if they did anything? If they did, they had no effect. It was worthless. The NYPD seems to have done the work. They're the ones on the front line. The SFPD, last night, they were the ones on the front line. I spoke with many of them as I stood there after they took over, the rats took over the Bank of America building. As I try to get near the window to look at the vermin inside the building, the disgusting, stinking smell of weed nauseated me, and I had to back off and leave. I started to cough. My eyes were tearing. You know, there's a reason it had a certain name in my day, marijuana. Okay, it wasn't always called marijuana or this or that. It had a name that approached human waste, because that's what it smells like to me, and that's what it does to a human mind. There's a reason it's called dope. It's because it makes you into a dope. It is perhaps the most dangerous drug on the planet. Just take a look at the vermin in the tents who have no idea what they're talking about or what they're doing to the 99th percentile. And I'm going to prove it to you in a moment. Here is one of the morons, one of the potheads, who says something that if there was truly a Secret Service, he would be arrested today. Listen to one of these jerks right now.
I think we should have a moment in silence and solidarity for the person that they said was from the Washington, D.C. Occupy, that maybe why did he feel he to shoot the White House window today? So I think we should hold a moment in solidarity for the White House and for the guy that shot at the White House today.
Now, that to me is a terroristic threat. He should be immediately arrested by the Secret Service. Where are they? Where's the Secret Service? Where's the FBI? Where's DHS? In other words, where's the federal government while the streets of America are in turmoil? The very foundations of our society are being rattled right now by some very nefarious and extremely dangerous forces. So far as I know, it's falling upon the local police departments to protect us from these individuals and from these organizations. Where is the apparatus that the federal government has in place to protect us? Why is it falling upon the local police departments? Who made that decision? These are very important questions that a historian will have to answer at some point. I can't answer the question. I have some suspicions, but there's something wrong. Margaret in Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Hi, Mike. You reminded me of something a few minutes ago. My husband and I went to a Tea Party rally here in Amarillo, Texas, a couple of years ago, and we were shocked to see federal agents taking down license plate numbers.
Oh, really? So the FBI was worried about the Tea Party, but they're not worried about this?
Exactly. They were there. They were federal agents.
But the Tea Party never said it wanted to shut down the nerve centers of America.
Exactly.
Okay. And block bridges, which is a terroristic threat.
Middle-aged working people had federal agents writing down their license plate numbers.
Oh, my God. The country is upside down. It's been taken over by the enemy. The enemy is all over the place. It's frightening. It's frightening. It's terrifying to see the mindset that is operating in this country under this incredible president of ours who has escaped it all after setting it all off, after analyzing it and setting it up with his friends, leaving the country at a time like this. Does this make Obama look good or bad, running away from America during a time like this? Let me ask you, you think this is going to backfire on him?
It will, and I just wanted to remind folks that, you know, what happened with the Tea Party, who were just a bunch of working people that went there after work.
You're saying federal agents were taking down your license plates, and so far as we know, they have had no interest in who's trying to shut down Wall Street or close down bridges and thoroughfares. Very telling indeed. Very, very telling indeed. Tennessee Nate, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I just, you know what they're doing? They're after the citizens. It's Eric.
All right, thank you for the call. Very well thought out. New York City, WOR Simon, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, an honor to speak with you again. I just feel that the Occupy movement is just there to take away attention from the Congressional Super Committee's indecision that's going to set in motion all these defense cuts and tax increases, which is happening any day. And yet,
I think that's a stretch. If you want to talk about a distraction and take our mind off what's really going on, let's start with the numerous scandals that are blowing up around Obama's feet on a daily basis. The solar scandals, the Kennedy $1.4 billion, the $900 million to Pelosi's brother-in-law. Should I go down the list? Billions and billions of dollars in scandals blowing up every day. Feinstein's $24 million grant to a company she invested in. That's a huge scandal. Where is that being talked about? It's all being covered up by the tents. That's the big scandal here. This is the thing. They probably knew this would be coming out, and they orchestrated it so that it would come out when the disclosure came out on 60 Minutes. It's too convenient for it to have occurred around the same time as the 60 Minutes show showing Princess Pelosi and her collusion with the visa thing. That was just shown Sunday night, and that was just the tip of the iceberg. Thank you, Steve Croft. Now you see Feinstein involved. Now you see the Kennedys involved. Now you see this one involved and that one involved, and there's no talk about it. At the same time, they blow up the Sandusky scandal and make that the biggest story of the decade. Listen to me. Don't think this is all happening by accident. When you have General Electric, which owns NBC, MSNBC, CNBC, and CBC, NBC, whatever, affiliates, and you have one single corporate structure that owns both the company that paid no taxes on $14 billion in earnings, and mouthpieces, little shills, like the little shills on MSNBC who are simply covering up for General Electric. That's all they were put in place for. Make no mistake about it. No matter how they protest about Wall Street and this and that, all of them are shills for the parent company so they can continue to not pay taxes. Where is the FBI on General Electric? Where is Department of Homeland Security on the Occupy movement? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it turns out they've been deeply involved in feeding information about the organizers to the NYPD. But a little poodle tells me that's not so.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
They're making it harder for the average guy to make a living. They're not hurting banks. They're just hurting the regular guy.
I have literally a full day of patience. I'm probably not going to see a single person.
Caught up in all the confusion, school children trying to get to class, led through crowds by nervous parents and helped through barriers by police. This father holding his daughter's hand was followed down the block by a protester.
I don't care.
The 1%.
I don't care. I want to get to work.
He's very afraid now.
It's stupid. It's absolutely stupid.
This is horrible. I'm waiting for the tanks to come rolling in.
Well, here are some of the questions we've been covering on the show today. Were you delayed or prevented from getting to work by the street rats called Occupy? If only the occupiers had an occupation, we wouldn't be facing this turmoil. How has the Occupy group most inconvenienced you in America? What do you believe the protesters are most right about? And what do you believe they're most wrong about? Who do you think are the most dangerous? Well, who do you believe is the most dangerous element in this movement? Students? Unions? Anarchists? Who do you think the Wall Street protesters are ignoring the most? Who do you think should actually be protested? I have a candidate, General Electric, Jeffrey Immelt. You haven't seen that story, have you? Didn't make it to your local paper? GE earned $14 billion in 2010 and paid no U.S. income tax. Let me repeat that. Jeffrey Immelt, who was on Obama's Jobs Council, and I guess that means exporting as many jobs as possible to China as fast as possible. Jeffrey Immelt filed through his GE a 57,000-page tax return last year and paid no taxes on $14 billion in profits. Let me repeat that. GE paid no taxes on $14 billion in profits. Okay. Now, here's what's on the news. Let's go to michaelsavage.com. The zucchinis have attacked the Night of the Living Zucchinis. They marched on the stock exchange. They occupied the subway. Fleas and lice are found in the San Francisco encampment of the vermin. Obama's good friend Bill Ayers is teaching Occupy Chicago. An ex-pastor of Obama has given protesters a church sanctuary. Did you hear that? Who are we talking about? Well, let's look into this. Jim Wallace, founder of Sojourners, a ministry professing a devotion to the pursuit of social justice. Well, you know what that means. When you hear the word social justice, I suggest you bar your doors and reach for your gun. Because what they mean by that is taking away what's not theirs. That's what they mean by social justice. There's turmoil throughout America, and the man who started it all, Obama, is on the road again. I believe enjoying himself in Bali with the missus and the mother-in-law. It is a total and absolute wreckage. And at the same time, a shock poll in Iowa shows that Fannie Gingrich is beating now Romney and Kane. Kane dropped back because of the beating he took from the media and his inability to answer certain questions about foreign policy. Gingrich has surged ahead for reasons I cannot even understand. But then it comes out Gingrich dipped his beak into Freddie Mac money. Unbelievable to me. So by doing nothing, Obama's surging and they're falling. As I predicted, it's a scam in an attempt to reelect Obama. What else is in the news today on the Savage Nation? Well, Mr. Biden, the vice president, is holding a transparency meeting, which is closed to the press. Astonishingly, in Alice in Wonderland today in Congress, as the Republicans were trying to pass a balanced budget amendment, Nancy Pelosi argued that it would be bad for the children to balance the budget, that in order for the children's health to improve, we must spend more trillions of dollars. That's Nancy Pelosi's odd mathematics. I'm telling you, this is insanity. What else? Energy Secretary Chu is still not in jail. Well, he hasn't done anything wrong. I mean, he gave the $500 million loan to Salinger, which he can't find. The money's gone. But that's nothing wrong. You know, that's the business as usual for the Demon Cats. What else do I want to tell you about? Oh, here's a little note. A Russian general warns that there's a growing chance that we'll have a nuclear war. Oh, really? Last I checked, heightened risk of conflict near borders may turn nuclear. What borders? I don't know what he's talking about. Oh, NATO's expansion eastward. I see. Prompted the Kremlin to rely increasingly on its nuclear deterrent. Counter a nuclear attack on Russia. So now we're hearing nukes now from Russia. I thought that Condoleezza Rice was a Russian expert, wasn't she? Well, anyway, Russia has strongly opposed the U.S.-led missile defense plan, saying it could threaten its nuclear forces. So now we can't even put up a nuclear defense plan. How do you like that? Russian scientist denies helping Iran build a nuclear weapon. Right, what else is new? U.S. troops are heading to Australia, irking China. We can't do that. We should just let the Chinese overtake Australia without even blinking. I mean, why even give them a reasonable, you know, target to knock over, which would be the one Marine battalion that we're sending there? Why even waste them on that? They could be doing diversity training over here. There's no need to send them to Australia, right? Just keep them here. Keep the Marines here and teach them diversity training. Cops have been injured in the Occupy March. One New York cop was slashed and another taken to a hospital with an eye injury as America's flotsam and jetsam have tried to destroy the economy of America, exactly what Osama bin Laden has done. You hear what I just said? Well, if you don't think pizza is a vegetable, then I guess you don't understand that a communist is a street rat, or that the street rat's a communist. Does that make sense to you? Talking about food, Smucker's peanut butter has been recalled for possible salmonella contamination. Now, that has nothing to do with anything. You understand that. But the Vatican is preparing legal action over the Pope kissing ad. Leave it to that clothing company to show the Pope kissing a Muslim imam, right? Well, if you want to get all of this news and more, there's only one place to get these stories and, frankly, a lot more. It's michaelsavage.com. You know, one article I haven't read to you yet, but you should read, is from Forbes if you're a serious person. The next financial crisis will be hellish, and it's on its way. Finally, abuse of power. First printing almost gone. If you're going to buy it for the holidays, I suggest you do it right now by going to Amazon or your local bookstore. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I think we should have a moment of silence and solidarity for the person that they said was from the Washington, D.C. Occupy, that maybe, why did he feel he to shoot the White House window today? So I think we should hold a moment in solidarity for the White House and for the guy that shot at the White House today.
Come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. Arkansas, Robbie, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. George Soros does not hate America. His hatred is for humanity. Soros could care less about the country a man resides in. His hatred is for the man who resides. And you ask, how can he get away with it? Well, simple, Michael. In America, there is a meekness of the mob and a madness of the law. And that's the way he gets away with it.
Well, he owns the politicians. They're afraid of him because he buys them off.
Exactly. And the mob.
So who represents the American people? Tell me who represents the American people. If we had a representative democracy, he would be investigated, in my opinion, for currency manipulation at the very least.
Michael, no one represents the American people. We've become servile, and we are slaves. We just don't realize it yet. And
God, is that chillingly true?
The mob is meek, and the laws are mad. And the meeker the mob gets, the madder the laws become. And I have to correct...
Robbie, you're a very well-educated man. Who are you quoting?
This is G.K. Chesterton, wrote it back in the 20s about the eugenics movement.
My God. I assume that you read about the fall of Rome at many times in your education, Robbie, didn't you?
I've read a lot. Yes, sir.
What people don't know is that when you look at ancient history and the fall of Rome, it was actually the end of civilization, of Western civilization. You're aware of that, I'm sure.
Yes, Michael.
And how did Rome fall? Allegedly, it was a result of vicious barbarian invasions during the 5th century, which destroyed the all-powerful Roman Empire and its centuries-old civilization, and then brought in a dark age for all the people of the West. All the people of the West. So who would the barbarians be today, using that analogy, Robbie? Who would the barbarians be who are out to destroy our civilization?
Well, there's people like Kissinger. There's people who hate humanity. They have a hole inside their soul that can only be fueled by the destruction of man. And the more they destroy it, the better they feel, because the void can never be filled, because they are depraved, and there is no rationality to the badness. And it's come throughout history. This is nothing new. It's human nature. And the problem is we've become so drugged over that we seem to forget our instinct, and that is that it's the fight or flight, and we'll neither fight nor flight. We'll just stand here and just wait in line.
Well, people should know that Rome didn't disappear. It's just that all of the civilization surrounding Rome and the comforts of the civilization disappeared. And it was during the middle years of the 5th century that Italy slipped away into Germanic hands. In other words, the Germans occupied Italy at that time. That was the end of the Roman Empire. It didn't exactly disappear. It just became sort of run by Hell's Angels, in essence.
Well, look at the Colosseums in Rome. They were built to pacify the people, to keep their mind off with sports. Look at America today. Look at the
nose. Mm-hmm. Let me read you a line from The Fall of Rome and the End of Civilization by Brian Ward Perkins. It was a book given to me by my good friend, Congressman John Culberson of Texas, when he came out to visit us with us. And in March 24th, he went to an event with us, and he wrote to Michael Savage, a great American who will be decisive in saving America from following the Roman Empire. And I want to read you one paragraph, The Use and the Threat of Force. The Germanic invaders of the Western Empire seized or extorted through the threat of force the vast majority of the territories in which they settled without any formal agreement on how to share resources with their new Roman subjects. The key words here are seized or extorted. I believe we are being extorted daily, and that our so-called representatives are no longer our representatives. The only hope we have at this time is for it, and it has to be led by the Tea Parties. They must become more passive. They cannot permit the phony Republican Party to completely deball them. They must now become more Americans. During the election, when Gore tried to seize the presidency against Bush, do you remember those young men from Cuba with the white shirts in Florida who ran into the polling areas where the vermin with law degrees from NYU and Columbia had been bussed in to rig up the vote? Remember, they came in and started pounding on the glass, and it chased all of these little cowards back to New York. Well, that's what we need. We need young men and women in white shirts and ties pounding on the glass of the vermin on the left. In the midst of all of this madness, you do have to find your corners of sanity and peace. For me, it's water. I've always loved going out on the water. And I go out on my boat. So yesterday, it was windy all weekend, and I didn't think I'd get out, because I don't really want to get a merit badge in stormy weather. You know what I'm saying? You got 16 states in heat, and here in California, Northern California, we're blessed. It's like 56, 57 degrees at night. You know, hits high 60s, maybe low 70s. We've just been enjoying phenomenally great weather after the heat wave. Ooh, you need a coat. The way I love it, right? So I don't go anywhere for that reason. What's the point of going anywhere? But I wanted to go out on the boat, but I don't want to go out in a 25, 30 knot wind. I'm really not in the mood for the merit badge in, you know, as I say, in stormy weather. So I'm waiting, waiting, waiting. So the weather breaks a little bit. So I call up my friend Mike, who's like he's a captain. He delivers boats. Great guy. And Mike, you want to go out? All right, I just delivered a boat. I'll come down in an hour, because I didn't want to go out in even the mild wind alone. I can handle my 40-ton boat alone in decent weather, calm weather, and I do. But on a windy day, I really didn't want to come back with Teddy. I'm alone with Teddy. to try to dock with a poodle running around back and forth. He always thinks he's docking the boat with me. I mean, it's really funny to watch. The guy loves to hear the kid, the dog, a kid guy. I don't know what he is anymore. It's like I'm a human being to me at this point. I'm going batty altogether. He's so attached to me. I'm so attached to the dog. I don't know whether he's a person or an animal, or I'm an animal or a dog half the time, or a person. We're like one in the same. We're bonded. So when I pull into a dock and I have to jump off the boat, he jumps too. And he tries to grab the lines and tie them up for me with his mouth. It's very cute, but very dangerous at the same time, because you got 40 tons of fiberglass, steel, stainless steel, teak, gasoline, diesel fuel, rather, you know, and oil and all sorts of things. You don't really want to be worried about a dog getting squashed between you and the dock. So I figured, all right, Michael, go out with me. So we go out, and it was absolutely incredible. And I was, again, one with nature, just a small 10-knot, 12-knot run down the bay. I like to watch the water, or the movement of the water. I like to look at the landforms, which are amazing. You know what we have here in Northern California? We have an amazing geography in that you have pine-studded mountains that drop drastically right into the bay, and then you have 70 feet of water right offshore, 15 feet offshore, 10 feet offshore. You could be in 70 feet of water, because fundamentally the entire Bay Area is on mountaintops, which, of course, if you're into geology as I am and botany as I am, you realize that we're here as visitors on a very we're visitors on this planet for a very, very brief interval, not only geologically a very brief interval, but, of course, in terms of our own life cycle. But you take a look at this, a bay like this or wherever you may be, you look around, you see all this landform, you're on mountaintops. And look at what we, the ants, have accomplished in such a short period of time geologically as we have inhabited these mountaintops, I said to myself as we continued the boat through downtown Sausalito.
Savage.
Nightmare.
They're making it harder for the average guy to make a living. They're not hurting banks. They're just hurting the regular guy.
I have literally a full day of patience. I'm probably not going to see a single person.
Caught up in all the confusion, school children trying to get to class, led through crowds by nervous parents and helped through barriers by police. This father holding his daughter's hand was followed down the block by a protester.
I don't care.
The 1%.
I don't care. I want to get to work.
He's very afraid now.
It's stupid. It's absolutely stupid.
This is horrible. I'm waiting for the tanks to come rolling in.
We all know that the communists in the streets are trying to destroy the United States of America as a free market capitalist nation and turn us into some third world destitute socialist hellhole. But many are saying the Occupy movement and the Tea Party movement are one and the same. Doesn't look that like that to me. The last I checked, they didn't have to use Lysol to clean the parks after the Tea Party people left, right? Well, joining us right now to talk about this and much more is Charles Hurt, a columnist for the Washington Times. Charles Hurt, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, great to talk to you.
You write that the Tea Party movement and the Occupy movement are really two twins separated at birth. Well, you mean Cain and Abel, or what do you mean?
Yeah, the bottom line is that both protesters, both groups of protesters are basically protesting the exact same thing. They're protesting a government that has gotten so enormous, so large, that it's able to take ruinous levels of taxes from hardworking Americans and bail out banks and bail out Wall Street. The thing about it, though, is that, of course, if you go to one of these crack fests, these Occupy parties, they don't know what they're protesting, and they can't even explain it to you. But at the end of the day, that is what upsets them. Even though it's the last thing they would say, what makes them mad is that the government has gotten so large that they're able, that the government is actually able to go and give millions and millions of dollars of our hard-earned money away to Wall Street and GM and big entities like that.
If they are one in the same movement, then what took the occupiers so long, and why is there so much filth, drug use, and dirt with the occupiers?
I think maybe maybe they've just been high for about 2 years, or they've been asleep. They strike me as the kind of crowd that probably sleeps in most mornings, and they literally, I think they woke up 2 years into this. I think it was about the same time their parents were kicking them out of their basements because they were tired of having them lie around playing video games all day long, and they walked outside and said, "Hey, wait a minute, there's an economic crisis going on." And Lord knows, none of them seem to hold jobs, and so I really do think it's just merely, they really are responding to the same outrages that the Tea Party was. Of course, what's unfair about this is that the Tea Party people are so good at explaining what their grievances are. I mean, it's included in their name even. And you know, you talk to these young guys on the Occupy parties, and they have no idea. They can't explain anything.
Do you think, as I do, that the community organizer-in-chief Barack Hussein Obama and the unions are really behind this socialist movement to take over our nation?
Oh, absolutely. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. And what is sad about that is that, you know, these guys, they sit around, they think that socialism and being taken care of is all, that's what they think they want. But the truth of the matter is that you know, if they really are free spirit, the free spirits that they claim that they are, and if they do love freedom like they claim that they do, and they want the freedom to smoke pot and all this kind of stuff, then what they're asking for will destroy them. I talked to one of these clowns, and they were telling me that they are at heart. He said, "At heart, I'm an anarchist, but since there isn't a party for that, I basically align myself with Democrats." So what this guy was saying is that since he can't be an anarchist, he's going to go with the big government party. It makes no sense. These people have never sat down to think through any of this.
Well, what do you think the Occupy protesters should really be protesting? I know what I think they should be doing. How about listing the senators who gave money to their cronies? Feinstein, Pelosi, any others?
How about maybe the White House? How about maybe President Obama? How about going after the folks that have been in charge and for years now and put in place a massive controlling government, and let's be clear, Republicans are not innocent of this either. They've gone along with it, and they're just as guilty, or not just as guilty, but they are also very guilty of this. But you know, the people, the politicians, especially the Democrats, who have empowered this massive monstrosity of a mistake to get this large and this involved in every aspect of our lives, so that it chokes an economy, brings it to its knees, and sets up all this horrible behavior and encourages horrible behavior by companies and people, so that you know, we're in the mess that we're in right now.
Should the Tea Party respond to these protests, or do you think once winter hits, these troublemakers will simply, I don't know, where do they go?
I think the truth of the matter is that's exactly what they'll do, is that they will, I don't think that they have the guts to stick it out. And most importantly, I think that the general public, forget the Tea Party, it's just the normal, you know, average people who are just sort of watching all of this, I think they despise these people, and they despise this nonsense because it is so disruptive. It is so costly. I mean, they are literally costing us so much money in terms of, you know, localities and things like that, in terms of police presence and in terms of public health and all this sort of thing. And then, and of course, and you remember seeing these things. You go to a Tea Party rally. After a Tea Party rally, there isn't a shred of garbage. There could be hundreds of thousands of people walking on the National Mall, and afterwards, there is not one piece of garbage to be picked up at the end of it. That's the Tea Party people. Compare that to these ruffians in smelly tents.
Charles Hurt, thanks for being with us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me. Great talking to you.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
The
is our duty as members of Congress. Indeed, we take the oath of office to be the elected guardians of our Constitution, to protect and defend it, to do no harm to our founding documents. Yet if this proposed amendment is adopted, it will have far-reaching and adverse consequences. It was interesting to me to hear others on the other side of the aisle talk about our children, our responsibility to them. Yes, that's what we said when President Bush was amassing his deficit. I didn't hear anyone on the other side of the aisle talking about that. But this is about our Constitution. So we owe it to the vision of our founders, the sacrifice of our men and women in uniform, the aspirations of our children to get our economic and fiscal house in order. This is the exact wrong way to do it.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to americaisrising.com, 800-255-4199, americaisrising.com.
And you know, there's a Highway 80 in California that runs up from San Francisco, actually the East Bay, right up through the mountains, Tahoe. You go up the over great 8,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 feet. I don't even know. I forgot already. Emigrant Gap, whatever the height is. It's amazing, majestic, granite cliffs, whatever. But when you're coming down from the mountains in California, like the Tahoe region down into San Francisco, and you descend from 8,000, 7,000, 6,000, 5,000 feet, there are signs along the side of the road for trucks that says slower down. Then they got gravel beds on the side of the road in case the trucks become a runaway truck where they're supposed to pull it off into the side into a bed of gravel. Okay, I'm just going 120 miles an hour down a hill just now, and I got to now slower down. You know what I mean? I don't want to burn so hot that I just burn. And it's a longer day's journey into Friday B, and it's a longer day's journey into October. 2 years I've been fighting England. 2 years I've been fighting England, hundreds of thousands of dollars. You think this hasn't taken a toll on me? This is one man. But I'm going to tell you something else. I'm not here to complain to you. I'm here to tell you something, and this is very important for you to know. America loves an underdog. And the way the enemies of the truth work is they try to take an underdog like me and make me into something that I'm not. They make it sound as though I have the power when I have no power at all. All I've got is my brains and my ability to express my ideas on this radio show. I have nothing else. That's not power. Power is controlling NBC and MSNBC and getting inside deals from the Cornhusker for the Cornhusker. The Cornhusker has got power. Anyone who can make $300 million overnight, he has power. Anyone who can bust out the housing market and make $10 billion and then try to bring down the U.S. military's GPS system, that's a man with power. That's power, not me. But America's always loved the underdog. Make no mistake about it, I'm the underdog. I have no power other than the truth. And the Bible says, and the truth shall set you free. I'm not so sure about that. There's a lot of slick trenches around the world with people who've told the truth who you never heard of. Okay, so let's not get carried away with absurdity. The fact of the matter is it's very dangerous to tell the truth. There's no percentage in telling the truth for most people. That's why most people don't tell it and why most people continue to lie. But I'm too deep into this game to pull out of it at this point. I got to tell you right now. I mean, many days I think to myself, you know what, Mike, back off. You've gone pretty far. You've done pretty good. You know, you're a certain age. I mean, how much more time do you have left on earth to begin with? And B, what do you need the headache for, which you keep bringing these things up for? You're only going to make more enemies than you already have. And then I say to myself, well, look, I'm on the radio. The purpose of the radio is very interesting. Talk radio is supposed to be an entertainment medium. Make no mistake about it. The people can only handle so much scandal, and then they turn it off. They want to hear music or whatever. They want news. They'll go to, like, light news, like the Muzak of news, which is NPR. NPR is the Muzak of the news business. They give you the light version, and it's all slanted towards the Mantovani view of news. You know what I'm saying? It's not Mozart. It's not Beethoven. It's like a Mantovani music in terms of left-wing light, the light opera of NPR. But if you want to write the heavy-duty operas of the truth, which you're going to do so at great expense, and to make the long story short, in other words, if you get up and to do talk radio, do it or don't do it. That's what I say to myself every day. Get up and, you know, run that mile, do the best you can, try to tell the truth without going over the line, okay? And that's the end of it. What more can you do? There's nothing more you could do. The game isn't over yet. We don't know whether Obama will survive the scandals. The chances are, with the help from the media and the fact that he has a complicit attorney general who we put in office there, and there's no independent, like Watergate, that had a special investigator, a special counsel, right, whatever they used to call him. But there should be one for Solargate right now. At the same time, there should be one on the Light Squared Gate, which we're calling Wiregate or Lightgate, because these are big stories in our time. These are worthy of a novel unto themselves, how an administration could get away with scandals of this magnitude. Even the hint of scandal is a scandal. And nothing happens. Nobody is indicted. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody loses a nickel. Instead, they go on to trivia in the media. Who shot who? Which slut sleeping with which warlock in Hollywood? So what you do is you throw yourself into your work. And I have, you know, relaxing. Like yesterday, I was out on my boat. I'm gonna drift now because I got to slow her down. So it's supposed to be, you know, I had cool weather out here, cold weather till last Tuesday. I went and bought flannel shirts at Macy's. I was getting ready for fall. So I went and asked for coats. He didn't have them yet. I said, "You have anything for fall?" He said, "Well, I got this." So I bought like nice flannel shirts that smelled of, they take up the perfume flannel, which I can't stand the smell of the cologne in the store. Suffuses every piece of clothing. You could puke from it. I have to hang my clothing up when I buy it from like a chain store in a garage for 3 months to like detox it before I could put it on my body. Are my eyes smart? You talk about a toxic environment. So I bought some flannel shirts Tuesday getting ready for cold. I was sleeping with three blankets. Bingo, I wake up on Wednesday. It's like a swelter job. The water is dead. People love this weather. I could do without it, frankly. It's not what I moved to the Bay Area for. I moved there for fog and the Chinese food. So let me go backwards. I'm enjoying this for a minute. Let me roll the clock back. Friday after the show, yours truly, your favorite talk show host, Michael Savage, closed off his microphone, turned it off, went down out of the studio, went into the streets of San Francisco, and he did what he loves best. My greatest pleasure in life, or amongst the greatest pleasures, is actually walking through a city that I know very well and that I love very well. That happens to be San Francisco with all of its warts, right? So I go way up California Street. My goal was to make it to the top of the hill to the Fairmont Hotel and then turn back down the hill to North Beach through Chinatown. On the way, I got distracted. I stopped in a bar that had loud, beautiful polka music. I went in there for a few minutes. The owner said, "You want a beer?" "No, not drinking. I intend to walk the hill," blah, blah, blah. The next stop, as I'm walking past Chinatown, I see St. Mary's Cathedral. I had never been in this church, but I love architecture and I love the sanctity of churches, even though I'm not a religious man. I go in and there was a Chinese pastor with a small group, and they were just chatting about something commercial, something non-religious. I saw it was like a meeting of some kind because it's right in the heart of Chinatown. It's one of the oldest cathedrals in the city. Gorgeous, incredible architecture. Gothic ceilings, lifts your spirit. And then I see at the back of the thing, they have to like reinforce the building or the city's going to knock it down. But if it was a bathhouse, I can guarantee it could be masonry without reinforcement, because that would be a city structure that the city under Nancy Pelosi would consider to be a sacred building. So then I walk further and I hear a band in the streets in Chinatown. The squeaky, squealy, plaintive music of Chinatown's band. And it's a bunch of kids playing sort of like Chinese instruments, but they're playing American songs, including the Marine Corps hymn. So what the heck is this? I'm enjoying. I go over there, and it's a kung fu studio celebrating something in Chinatown. And I tell you something, I saw what I always see when I walk through Chinatown. I saw the future of America, and it's actually a beautiful future, which is you got to love the Chinese community. You got to see how incredibly tight-knit this community is. These children were playing instruments. They weren't gangbanging. I would say one out of four children I saw going by in the streets had a violin in her hand with a grandparent walking beside her. I said, now this is what you call a community. And I saw people who knew each other in the streets saying hello and waving to each other. Okay, so I continue my walk up the hill. I go all the way up, go into the Fairmont, stop in a plush seat, make a few phone calls, zip down, hit where I knew I was going to end up, even though I didn't want to. I said, don't wind up there because you're going to wind up having a drink, which you don't want. I went to the North Beach restaurant. Sure enough, my friend Lorenzo was there, and I wound up having a drink, which I didn't want. But after one, I wanted two, and that was the end of that. So then a couple of young people were in there from Staten Island, Italian people. They came to the restaurant because they knew I come by there once in a while. And we chatted, you know, about Italian food and this and that, blah, 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 blah. Then the weekend goes on. So yesterday I go out on my boat. Gorgeous, flat. This time of year the water turns what I call China boating. On this bay there are two little islands that very few people know about. They're called East Brother Island, and there's a lighthouse on it. On East Brother Island there's a lighthouse on the other side of the Richmond Bridge. And there is a Victorian-era bed and breakfast inn. This used to be manned by a family, but it's now a bed and breakfast with a Victorian building on it. You could Google it, East Brother Island Lighthouse. And it's on a piece of a peninsula that I know very well because I boated past it 1,000 times. And if you look at the wooden structures that are crumbling, they look familiar to you because they were in the Dirty Harry movies, the last scenes where Clint Eastwood chases down the villain. It's along that piece of land. But what few people don't know is on the other side of that peninsula is the last American whaling station, which was closed down, I believe, as recently as 1968. They were still hauling in whale carcasses and cutting them up right over here in the San Francisco Bay. Now, the reason I mention all of this is because this piece of the bay, including some other aspects of the bay, very few people know as well as I do.
Savage.